really be in the moment and just worship the Lord our God and bless Him. The Lord is here. Oh, Lord, please be here, Lord. Lord, I have, what does it even mean? None of us here has anything to meet, to gain, to offer. Oh, but Lord, if you open your hands and just breathe this morning.
We will all be well. I so thank you because you are not moved by norms and structure and protocols. You search much deeper within, deeper than the way things appear. You're looking into our hearts. I thank you because you are no respecter of persons, titles, offices, accomplishments. They mean nothing to you. Oh, but that contrite, that humble, that woman with the issue of blood, that unseen heart that truly, truly is serious about touching the hem of your garment in the midst of the multitude will be healed. I so thank you for the abundance of your revelation in your word. The Bible, oh no, it was the song that said that everything that is written about you is true. Father, we acknowledge, Lord, that from 8 to 1:30, 1 o'clock today, only the mountains that you move will be moved. We humble our hearts, we wait on you, Lord. Father, I'm not the most qualified to offer this word today. I bet there are some of the children here, Lord, that you have dealt bountifully with this week who are full of something for you. But for one reason or the other, I stand here just trying my best to express what it is their spirit you have been teaching me that I believe you want your people to hear. Please, Lord, you speak, Lord, not me. That your will be done, O Lord. You love all of us so much. You love your people. I pray that at the end of this sermon, you'll be special before everybody. We bless you, Lord. Where you have taught us to be a simple people before you, to cast aside all pretensions, to hold on to Jesus. My Lord, you are praying for us at this moment. You do not sleep. You are making intercession because of your love. Please hear us this morning. Send your unction. Open your word broadly in these few minutes, Lord. Let it bring understanding to the simple. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Really bless the Lord and thank God for his faithfulness. And for his grace, as always. Thank God for sparing us for another week. I don't know if some of you are on the. I noticed Sister Buki is not here. I don't know where she is. But let us take a moment to pray for Sister Buki's family. They suffered a bereavement, a cousin. And it's very unlike her not to have been in prayer meeting, but she wasn't there. And I notice she's not here. But let's, as a church, just take a moment and say a word of prayer for them as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our dear Sister Buki and our family and what they're going through at this moment, Lord. And as many families as we do not know, they are going through the test. Father, I pray that you please restore your joy and your comfort in the way that only you can. Pray, Lord, that this loss will be infused with hope. Hope that Jesus brings in overcoming death and the grave. We pray, Father, that it will be far in between, that there will be victory over all diseases within this family. Pray that you please lift their spirit up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. How is everybody doing? What have we been talking about? Who remembers? Faith. What have we been? The very character of faith. What aspect of faith did I say, honestly, I am, at least for the purpose of this series, not interested in? Definitions and theories. Said, honestly, I don't think, I think the part of faith that I want to focus on, that I believe the Lord will want us as Christians to focus on, is how to recognize genuine faith. There's a scripture that says that we say that we believe in God. So congratulations. Even devils believe in God. So they even believe in God more than us, because in their case, they actually tremble. When devils hear the name of God, they stand up. When we hear praise the Lord, we sit down. I'm just expanding that scripture. He said they even tremble. So Christ was essentially saying it is not head belief, right? The belief is of the heart. And he began to start this series of study that how do I truly know when I believe from the heart? Because so many people believe. My family and I were discussing actually faith as we were coming to church this morning, not faith, Christianity and the history of it and religion generally. And our conclusion was there's the real thing, and then there's the regular religion. But that may the Lord help us to really have the true religion that James described, which is full of empathy and full of compassion. It thinks about widows and offerings and orphans. It does not just, the religion of Christ, the faith of Christ does not just give testimony. The faith of Jesus is never comforted in of itself. It's only comforted when others are comforted. The Bible says Christ did not come minding his own welfare, but rather the welfare of others, carrying other people's burden. That's a character of faith. And then there's a scripture that says we should really, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. He said, I have done all of the, he didn't say it this way, I'm just adding it, I'm adding context. Says, if I've written to you many letters, I planted this church, I labored among you, I lived with you, I taught you things, I performed miracles, but now test yourself whether you are still in faith. He did not just assume that because they have the right doctrine, they have the right practice, he did not just assume that they were in faith. He said, you should do, you know how we go to the doctors and we test. Do you only go to the doctor when you are sick? Most people do. Actually, I was speaking with someone in Nigeria, my home country today, and we were wondering that there was my aunt. It's probably close to 100 years old. It just occurred to us that she's never done a yearly medical in her life. She doesn't have a PCP. Jesus is her primary care physician. Very effective primary, and she was still taking public transportation. So we must do spiritual check. And faith, the topic of faith has been so attacked, and there's so much book written about it that we can reel off faith, how it's important to have faith when we pray, how faith will help us to get God's attention to give us things. But the real test of faith is what has been neglected, and that is character. We said that it's very possible in this work to perform miracles, to know all the scriptures, and yet you do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. James, writing for his instance, said to us that we should not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. What does that mean? Who knows what that means? Brakunle, I'm going to call on you. When James says, do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons, I think that's King James. Yeah, it is King James. I read it in the old King James, and that's still stuck in my head. The elegance of the English language. Then he went on to say that if a rich man comes into New Covenant Church, or well-dressed, or someone that looks the part, like Sister Lola, I just wanted to get your attention. You were looking down and not looking. I knew that would get your attention. He said, I would say, oh, Dr. Lola, hey, come in front. Now that we are directing people to where they should sit. And then we see someone that looks like me come into the church. Say, this man is thin. Me and Brother Oluwa, these people look like breeze. We carry them away. Just go and sit anywhere. He says, is that the faith of Jesus? And those are the little things that are wanted in this topic of faith. They are missing. We don't talk about them enough. So I just want to bring to our attention the character of the faith of our Lord Jesus. The ones that come to our attention is that we will command the mountain, and the mountain will go into the sea, and everybody will say, yay, he's a man of faith. But the faith of our Lord, the character of faith is very subtle. James again said, I think I mentioned it once. I think it was John, actually. He was talking about love, but that's part of faith. So if someone were to come to you and say they are hungry, and then you begin to speak in tongues and lay hands on them, and you pray for them that it is well with them, and they go home hungry, is that the character of faith? When the Lord Jesus Christ came, was his faith demonstrated primarily by signs and wonders? Actually, the Bible will say to us, he healed many, but at times he will walk alone to be alone. He will perform miracles, then he will tell them, do not long for the bread that will perish. He went about doing good. So, and I think it's time for us as Christians to begin to think about faith as a character. Faith and endurance and perseverance. The true character of faith is enduring and it perseveres. I have two passages here that I'd like us to read. Simi, Simi, sorry, Anike. Let's go to Colossians 2:6, real far. As therefore you have received Jesus Christ, walk so in him. Go to verse 7 if you can. The way you have, and I wanted to just, as we are dealing with the, and those of you who are born again, I hope your consciences will be stirred up because these are some of the things we learned in what I now call the old faith or the way of the cross, the old rugged crossway, the old tradition, the old religion. Give me that old-time religion. Say, be rooted and built up in him, which we've been talking about. Be established in faith. The way you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Many of those traditions, remember, do not forsake the ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. Many of those traditions are lost. Very good illustration. There was a time that a Christian would not lie. They knew it was not in the character of Christians to tell lies. A Christian would not commit adultery. It was not in the character of Christians to be having extramarital affairs. It was considered to be an offense, an odious to the body of Jesus. It was a leaven that needed to be removed. A Christian would not cheat without even preaching about teaching. The kind of faith of our Lord Jesus Christ was not the kind that would cheat. Paul taught us two Christian bodies will not be engaged in lawsuits against one another. He said, hi, how can you bear to go before an unbelieving judge? Do you not have anybody among you? Do you not know that you embarrass Jesus when two Christians are quarreling? I'm looking for simple things. The character of our faith is simple. A Christian will not lie on their resume, not because they are detected, but because there's just something personally. In fact, a Christian will not put a coffee mug on top of their Bible. Remember that? Remember that? Were you not taught that you respect the word of God? Although you might be, that is stretching it. But I just want to show how we used to think as Christians. A Christian will not miss prayer meeting. Because it was a sign, Sister Lola, I just want to keep getting your attention. Do you remember there was a time that if they didn't see you in prayer meeting 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, someone will call and say, are you backsliding? What happened, brothers and sisters? And that was what we called faith. It wasn't the, we saw miracles, and they call them miracles for a reason. Miracles cannot sustain you. The character of faith of the Holy Spirit was what marked every Christian in every community apart. A Christian was not selfish. Last week we talked about one character of faith, courage. Courage. Paul said, remember when there was a time that you could pluck out your eyes for Jesus? He said, whatever happened. Remember? He was writing to the Corinthians. Don't remember. You remember that? He said, what happened to you? He said, there was a time that you could pluck out your eyes for me. You could do anything for Jesus. You will have an exam and they will say, there's meeting. I'm not teaching. I'm just teaching this as a character. You know what a character is? They're the guiding rules of your heart, right? What embodies you, right? And they'll say, how can you be having medical exam and you're still attending Christian fellowship? Yeah. And then you will see. Exactly. And God proved it. God proved it. God proved it. Of course, there was also, which speaks to something you are saying, they also, the flip side of people who really think that faith is abandoning their responsibility and substituting it with Christian activities. Faith is not Christian activity. It's a condition of trust, of integrity, of love. That was what made us Christians. It was faith. And I'm about to talk to this church that prevented us as Christians from just walking into church anytime we want. It is not in our... He said, remember the way you have received Jesus. Walk in it. Just certain things in Christ are not right. And it is the measure of faith is not confession of lips. It's attitude of heart. So he said, remember the when you first got born again. Isn't that there's a passage that says, remember when you first believed. And in this series of faith, that's what I want to focus on. Because honestly, that is what differentiates us from the people we call non-believers. And as I looked in scriptures to Old Testament through New, in short, the examples of saints, what I found that made God call them people of faith were the little things. They trusted him. Even when their flesh was tempted, their souls just was dancing to another music in the heart. That music is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It made people hate on them. Look at your life today. You say, examine yourself whether you're in faith. Can people really say that you're different from us? Remember, if all people can say about you is that you're a nice person, well, it doesn't take a Christian to be a nice person. But there's something about having the faith of Jesus that sets you a little bit further apart. It will make some people hate you. Because you are speaking heavenly language and the things of God, the world can never agree with it. The Bible says when you try to make friends with the world, you're automatically going to be an enemy of God. Are you ready to be an enemy of the world and a friend of God? So I pray that this new culture, that faith is convenient, that faith is attendance, that faith is even act of charity, not life, not heart, act, A-C-T, not heart of charity. I pray that as God opens our eyes, we will begin to accept what God sees, what the Lord saw in David that made him say, David, you are my friend. I pray that we will be friends of God. That is what this series is about. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. That passage came to me this morning, and I like us. Do you have it up? Anike Ike Simi. Okay. I remember last week we began to give some examples, and I will give some more. I pray that at the end of this series, all of us will answer to God. That the precious external will begin to recalibrate our Christian walk in a way that will make God pleased. And we'll be ready to pay the price for real faith. The kind of faith that is preached today, the price is almost motivated by the gain we will have personally. You know, if you have faith, you'll be able to get a new job. If you have faith, that is true. But I suspect it's a little deeper as Christians. I suspect that is not where the focus of Jesus is. This Paul again writing said, brethren, join and follow my example. Not just my example. Say, look around you. This is what I want you to look out for. Miracle workers? Huh? Miracle workers? No. He said, I want you to look for those who walk the way you read that we, the apostles of Jesus, walked. Because there are many apostles, there are many prophets. Not all of them. Okay, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, because many walk, but I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, I'm crying. The apostle is saying, I am shedding tears. This matter is a serious matter. Brother Usman, I know what matter is. God. Who else is at the danger of not? So say, you know what matter is? This matter. This issue that Jesus is speaking to us about is so serious that the apostle is saying, you guys are reading it in black and white. I'm writing it crying. Pay attention. When Jesus says, when the Bible says, and Jesus wept, and I think we need to pay, when Paul says, I've discussed everything with you, Professor Ige, but this matter that I'm about to discuss with you, I'm crying. We should pay attention, I think. Weeping, said they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Can you go to the next verse? This scared me a bit. The next few verses, actually. Said these people, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. What does that mean? Ibrahim. You know what that means? That their God is their belly. They only care for themselves, the Ibrahim way. Yes. Please, there's no hurry this morning. I will not keep us. But I want us to take seriously what the apostle is saying, because this is the character. He said, there are many people today. Which people is he referring to, by the way? Is he referring to unbelievers here? It's referring to Christian examples, the people we hold as examples. Is this Brother Wale saying it? Nobody answers me. He said, their God is their belly. Can you deny it? We're in a generation when congregations established for good purposes, we find the establisher of congregations are getting old, and these congregations are being passed as inheritance to what? To who? Children and children's children. We're in a generation in which, let's say the truth. Please say the truth. The truth will make us free. Not many people are open to this truth. Satan will want us to talk about everything else but what Jesus would be saying if he was amidst us today. The whole of Israel was backslidden, and the school of the prophets were aligned with four spirits within them. And the Lord raised Jeremiah. And there was a word from the Lord, and the king called, and Jeremiah went there. Was it Jeremiah? Please, you who know, I think I may be mixing up my prophets. He said, it is well with you. Go to the world, you'll be all right. Because that was the song of his generation. And the king who knew the true character, suspect, although this was an evil king, he suspected the true character of faith. He said, do not lie to me. Oh, so you want to hear the truth. So thus said the spirit, you are not coming back from that wall. He said, did I not tell you? This guy never has something good to say about me. By which the king had answered and kept from that war, he would have been. But the world loves to hear falsehood. Even when it's obvious. In Israel, the prophets saw the totem poles. They saw all of the altars. They saw all the false sacrifices. And yet they kept proclaiming falsehood. But the man of God spoke the truth. The word is saying that the church is greedy. Go and listen. And unless we want to lie to ourselves, that's the picture. But the Lord has kept his own. The church, the foundation of the Lord stands true. The Lord knows those who are his. His church is not. It's just the common representation. But Paul said, look at those who walk like us. If you want to listen to. Don't just say, what does this man say? Say, how does this man live his life? Is he living his life like Jesus? Is he living his life like Paul? Does he have the same disposition to life? He said, there are many whose God is their belly, their glory is in their shame. And the one that struck me is the last part of verse 19. They what? What does that mean? If you want to build a bank on earth, is that a heavenly thing? How many banks did Jesus build on earth? If you want to open churches left, right, and center, are you taking, and what opening church means? Opening church buildings. But if you want to create living souls and spirits, which requires love, patience, and the fullness of the Spirit, that's difficult to do, right? You will follow the examples of the prophets. They set their heart. So the character of the true faith of Jesus is not on what? On what? Earthly things. But we have been almost chosen, proven that those who have the material possessions, who have everything that everybody desires, that those are the people with faith. But the Lazaruses, who actually, by revelation of the word, we know made heaven. If you look at it in the flesh, they did not have faith. Father Abraham, who did not have a child until his old age. Now we can sing about the faith of Abraham. If you listen to the story of Abraham, majority, and Sarah, if you listen for majority of their life, they laughed at them. Said, you call yourself, he said, God told you, you'll be a father of many nations. And what? And he inherited the ground, the place that God, and then he still lived in that place. If you read Hebrews 11, in tents, he did not build permanent structures. He said he was looking for something not built with human hands. He did not love earthly things. That's the character of the true Christian faith. May the Lord help us to look above where Jesus is. The character of true faith. All the apostles with their miracles could have been popular. They did not seek popularity. True faith. Through the storm. And when Abraham had that child, the Lord tested him again. He said, go and kill your own child. He said, you did not withhold even your only child from me. Well, at that point, all of Abraham's enemy, we call him delusional, crazy. You waited all these years? Look at him. Can you imagine? You see, we tell that story. Imagine it's happening today. Imagine. I see all the women, I say, and they're looking down, that Lord, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from. Imagine you are told to take your only child, and the Lord even rubbed it in, your only begotten son, and go and kill him. You say, where in the Bible does it say we must kill? You will quote scriptures back to God. But until that man took that, I was ready to slay what was the most important thing in life. The thing, it's worse than now. It's not like go and take your car and donate it. This is something you've waited for 40-something or odd years or more than that. And then you got it. And then you had to take a knife and kill the thing. Abraham's blessings are, is mine, Harry. And bless the price that that man. That's why he was called the father of faith. The character of faith, my brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about the power of the mind to believe. I'm talking about the power of the heart to die. That used to be the sweet aroma. The sweet aroma that God loves. When the Lord looked at his disciples, we read it last week, and said, those who save their lives will lose it. People, do you understand, brothers and sisters? Does that make sense? Let's pray that the Lord, anything less than that is not the kind of faith of the Bible, the character of faith. We talked last week about the womb branch. I want to just give, we have a few minutes more. We have series of examples. I've talked about the Man City stud here. Most of you know the Moody Bible School. There was a man who donated most of the money to start that school. I love the story of this man. Pioneer, the book I recommend it, City Stud Pioneer, and I don't know, Cricketer or Pioneer, was thereabout. I can get the title for you. This man, to me, is a unique man in Christian history. He was born into a very, very rich family. You know, one of those families that made money was English in India. You know, when different affluent British families went into the colonial, they'll make money. They were extremely rich. Not only that, smart. He and his brothers were Cambridge boys. Not only that, he was a top sportsman, a cricketer, one of the top cricketers, easily the top cricketer in the whole of England. In the time when England worshipped cricket, I guess they still do, it's soccer now. So it was well known. It was the example of a young, qualified man in every sense. Very rich, very popular, very brilliant. The Lord touched his heart. He was in India, in China as a missionary. He ended up in Congo. I was one of the people that established Christianity in Congo as the land opened up there. The two things I wanted to point out, his life principle. When people wondered and they say, you've given so much to Jesus. I've seen many men stand up to say, I've made sacrifices for the Lord. He must reward me. When his dad died and gave him an inheritance, he willed the inheritance to the Moody Bible School. He was a missionary. Not only that, please don't quote me on the time, but the last 15 years of their marriage, he and his wife did not see. He was in the interior of Congo. The wife was in England or here in the US, I can't remember, raising fund to support the ministry among the Congolese. They saw once, she visited once when he was bent with disease and ready to die. Sacrifice, selfless service, the love for Jesus. We live in a generation when, if for Christ, husband and wife is separated, you think you're doing God a favor. These people voluntarily said even their marriage, anything that will advance the glory of God is what our marriage will be about. The character of faith is that it's always Christ first. Always Christ first. In your career, Christ first. Not what is good for me. Faith does not ask first what is good for me. It asks what is good for Jesus. My children, Christ first. My marriage, Christ first. That Christ may be glorified in me, whether in my life. I think it was Paul that said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I die, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith in Jesus who loved me and gave his life for me. We don't get these thoughts to us anymore. Even when ministry is taught to us, it's how you could be great in ministry. You can never be great in ministry. You are called to be a servant in ministry. So many people go about seeking to be great in ministry. I've not seen one part in the Bible that says a man should seek greatness in ministry. It's God. The Bible actually says, when you humble yourself, God will lift you up. So of course, many people go about trying to be great. How many congregations do you have? All those questions will not be asked in heaven. It is on earth. Thank you. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we are waiting for Jesus to come. But the wrong perception of our faith causes our focus to now be on earth when we should be looking for Jesus. You see, when you set your focus on Jesus, you are better prepared to stand all of the vicissitudes of life because you know Jesus is coming to reward your labor. Even our Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he did not look at himself. He looked unto God. And God lifted him up. If you read Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, talked about how he humbled himself. He came from heaven, humbled himself, and became like a servant. The true minister, the true disciple, is not someone who seeks to be a head among his peers. He seeks to be a servant among his peers. But you know, I said, my church will not be like the world. In the world, we're all working for promotion, right? The validation of our input is the promotion we get. Then you'll be made supervisors. You command people. But in the church of God, it's not like that. Jesus said, the least among you. Because, you know, God looks at men look at outwards. When they were giving that donation in church, some people were writing fat check. And that's what we look at. But Jesus said, that widow. And it puzzled them. How can this widow have? I know how much she does. How much does she have to? I'm sure if they were doing fundraising, the widow wouldn't be on the front row. But Jesus, God, was looking and defining sacrifice differently. I'm going to close shortly. I pray that the Holy Spirit will interpret his word. And as we curate this story of eternity, our individual stories of eternity, our Lord Jesus will be the primary focus. And that we will do it the way Jesus wants. I pray that you'll be jealous for Jesus in your heart. Very few people are jealous for Jesus. I pray that you'll be jealous for Jesus in your heart. I pray that Jesus will be larger than your career and your children and your spouses. I pray that you will have that thing that David seemed to have. The man did not care whether he was king or rebel leader. He just had the music. He had a psalm. He had something going with God. His quarrel was not with man. May the Lord help us to attain that. So this man, City's thought, said something. When people say, whoa, look, you've relinquished everything. What kind of man are you? You've made such a fantastic sacrifice for Jesus. He said, if Christ be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And that was his guiding principle. You remember what Jesus said? He said, even when you have done a lot for him, he said, if a master comes in with his slave from the farm, Ratore, you come in with your employee and you get home after work. He said, does the master say to the servant, sit down, let me serve you? No. He said, just you make sure that I'm fine. After I'm done, then It will be your turn, right? So we should be like that. We should make sure that God is totally satisfied with us. And when they praise us, Jesus said, she said, we are only servants. We are only doing what has been required. What is this big deal? Paul said, there's nothing I've been given. I cannot boast in anything except Christ and him being crucified. Because everything I do is by the grace of God. So do not glory in anything. There'll come a time when the master himself will reward you for that thing that nobody sees. You see, we'll be surprised on judgment day. In fact, Jesus said, the last shall be the what? And the fourth shall be the. What do you think that means? Who has meditated on that scripture before? You expect, we have made some God generous, and we expect them, yeah. On that day, Cain may be the one in front. I say, Cain, what are you doing in front? See Uncle Wale? Go back, and Angel Gabriel will say, man looks at the outward. You see this Cain? She belongs there. Then we will all shake our heads and say, ah, so the Lord said the fourth shall be the last. And by that time, it will be too late. Say, Cain, what were you doing all the time when I was preaching? And she said, I was focused on the true character of faith, not on preaching. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I don't want to murder wisdom or counsel with too many words. Because if I don't stop now, you start seeing Wally. I'm going to stop. I believe the Holy Spirit has made the case to you this morning. Please, do not look at me. I commend you to Jesus. Take seriously these words. If your spirit bears you witness that they are true. Let us pray. I'd like us to sing a song of prayer together. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, Lord. It's good enough for me. Lord, please steer us in the way that pleases you. Remove fear from our hearts. Remove the focus that Satan has put on earthly things, although we know that these things do not satisfy. As you have promised, please pour your spirit, who is able to interpret and reveal your will to us. Lord, as you are choosing and helping, I pray, Lord, that none of us here will be excluded from that grace that brings salvation, that teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live soberly in the present world. The faith that teaches us to look to the blessed appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Father, the deception in the last days, Lord, deliver us from it. We cannot deliver ourselves. So that truly in our hearts, we will know that we love your appearing. We will know that we are ready to receive the crown of glory from you. Please, Father, he said, those who seek these things, you will give them. Solomon did not ask you for wealth or riches or that his enemies will be given to him. He asked for wisdom, and you were pleased. Make us wise unto salvation, Lord. Father, please give us the faith that is immune to all of those trials of this life. The faith that scorns our death. The faith that sinks in the midst of trouble. The faith that allows us to love our enemies, to bless those who despitefully, to bless those who curse us, and to pray for those who despitefully use us. These are the things we seek for. They were the things that differentiated you, Jesus, from the other rabbis. Help us, Lord. Pour your spirit upon us, Lord. Lord, please let the hunger for your grace be in our hearts, O Lord. We ask this, Lord. We bless you. Please keep us safe as we go home, Lord. Hear our prayers. Deliver us from trials. Solve our problems, Lord. Keep us glorifying your name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah. Brothers, anything?